Welcome, everyone. Let me introduce you to our March resident artist, Emma Shapiro. Emma is an American artist and feminist activist based in Valencia, Spain. She holds a degree in painting from the Rhode Island School of Design and has received multiple fellowship awards and residency opportunities to pursue her artistic and activist work. Upon completion of her degree, Emma pursued a professional career as an artist model in New York for 5 years, and this experience deeply impacted her practice and the understanding of the body. Through her use of layered video, self-portraiture, and repeated encounters with her own image, she deconstructs and questions the meanings of our body, how we know them, and what they could be. A recent move to her native US to Europe has triggered a body of work concerning the memory of the self and how we anchor our notion of the self in those memories. Emma, welcome. How was your residency? Tell me.
The residency was truly wonderful. This was my first virtual residency. And I have to say that it was actually like the level of inspiration I felt even remotely was like the same as any physical residency that I've attended. Maybe it's just a frame of mind thing, but the support that you and Agora gave me in terms of meeting other artists, learning about possibilities to include in my work, and also just being able to possibly categorize my work in terms of digital art was a first for me, truly, and it really opened a lot of doors for me. It's been really exciting.
Great. I'm happy that it was a good experience. Okay. The work is called Cuerpas. And so my first question for you, Emma, is could you please tell us a little bit more about that new body of work? And then for the non-fluent Spanish speakers, maybe you could also explain what is it, Cuerpas and not Cuerpos?
But yes, the Cuerpa body of work that I was working on during my residency is like a tangent of an ongoing series of work that I call the Palimpsest. And the Cuerpas, they began as like a direct collage practice where I was taking a series of photographs that were taken of me as an artist model in New York. And I was cutting them up and rearranging them into contorted and uncanny little paper dolls, basically. And they spoke to me of the contortions that I and many people go through when life moves you forward into new environments. And as was mentioned, yes, I moved to Spain from the United States a few years ago. And I've learned a new language. I've attempted to build a new life for myself here. And I've wondered how to place my identity in this new life. And I wondered where I pinned my identity in the first place, what it hangs on, and who and why. And I see my body as a vessel that carries these transformations and that transforms itself around the experiences as well. And so the Cuerpas, these physical paper dolls that I had made, they felt like a truer me than the images that they came from, while still being the same body that they were created from, still being me. So that was the basing, that was a starting off point for this project. And the term Cuerpas, yes, it is incorrect if you are familiar with Spanish or a gendered language. The correct term is cuerpo. And I specifically named this series Cuerpas. And it came from the reformulation, the twisting, and the definition of the body that was related to this experience of reformulating my own body. So the correct term is cuerpo, but me coming from English, only learning Spanish now, is my first experience with a gendered language. And the idea that my body would be labeled as masculine no matter what really struck me as odd. And I suppose I wanted to reclaim it as female, because I see my own body as female, and regardless of whether it was the correct word or not. And the fact is that in the incorrect word, cuerpa tends to punch or like disorient anybody who is familiar with a language. And for my work in particular, I really do disorient my viewers a little bit.
Thank you for your precision. Okay. You use collage and photograph and video in a way of deconstructing realities. Do you want to be in this kind of game of being as the object of attention and as well the director and the performer? What were you trying to achieve by this kind of relation that you build with the self built in paper?
The cutout series, which you can find on my website and which is included as part of the Korpa's genre. So I don't really see it in terms of directing and acting in front of the camera. My practice is very solo. I set up the camera myself and basically kind of run back and forth and hope that I didn't kick it out of place on my way. And that there's a lot of trial and error that takes place within my work. I do see it, the whole thing is collage, using my own body, catching the right moments, the unintentional things that happen as well, and keeping them all together. And I really have enjoyed using paper in that process because it is like a sort of virtual and physical way of actually creating collage using my own image.
Mm-hmm.
So if that answers that question.
Yes, perfect. In what sense your narrative has changed compared to your modeling years? Or is it a self-reflection of those years and those experiences accumulated? As you mentioned that your body was a map of your experiences. Is it becoming then interactive?
In relation to art modeling? Yes. So let's see. Art modeling for me was like a very life-changing experience. And as you mentioned, I modeled full time for about 5 or 6 years, and I took it very seriously, and it was my life, and I really did love it. And I felt like I was giving back as an artist, as an art student previously, and I was continually inspired by the experience. And I finally respected myself. I actually saw my body as beautiful and strong and timeless, and that timelessness would actually really influence my work later. And this was very important to me because after an entire young adulthood of not understanding or appreciating my body, I, in fact, probably would have characterized it as hating my body. Modeling really saved me.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that my body began to be sexualized without my understanding as a young girl, like being suddenly told that my skirt was too short or that I needed to cover my chest and not really understanding why, those moments took away my body from me, like it took my autonomy and to some extent it took my identity from me. And it took away my respect for my body along with it, bit by bit. And modeling basically gave it back to me in a lot of ways. So it's true that with modeling, I did give away a lot. I was giving away my image, my time, my energy. And after a few years, clearly, I decided that it was time to give all of that to myself and my practice. Now that I felt ownership over my own body again, and I knew how to use it, and I knew that it was a multifaceted tool that I could use to make art with myself.
Interesting. Yes. So were you also remembering those years while you were modeling and maybe static, compared to those videos that you create that are more dynamic of yourself? Are you considering those videos like a transformation about what you just said between the young adulthood or teenager's years and the transformation of the body as an accomplished woman now?
Yeah, I do think that there's a lot of homage going on in my work to my former lives. You know, they're all still part of me, and I'm thinking about how my perception of my own body has changed. That is what my work is about currently. It's about what my body actually means to my identity and how my identity is wrapped in my body. The reflections and the memories are all very much present within the work.
Indeed, they are. I may read the comment from Sarah, who said on Jimmy, I love the idea of your body being transformed in a paper doll when you abstract your body in this way. Is part of the global abstracting the gender appearance of your body.
The Is that a question? Sorry.
It's ending by a question mark, but I suppose that she's fully supporting you.
I think her comment's cool. I didn't quite catch the question, but I think it's an interesting take on it that I appreciate a lot. I think Esther, I'm going to invite Esther as a speaker. Okay. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening, everyone. Hello, Emma.
Hello, Esther.
I wanted also to, because I'm really fascinated, I came in contact with Emma's work through Lauren, who's also here in the room. Thank you so much again, Lauren, for introducing me to Emma's work. And I had the chance afterwards to collaborate now with her. And I remember when I was reading through your website, I want to come back also to this modeling part. I was so intrigued, but also irritated. And I maybe because I never came across an art student or someone who studied art who did this. And I really, everything you said now answered a lot of my questions, but I wanted to ask, was there a certain moment or how did you decide to do it? Was there a certain trigger or a certain situation that made you decide to start this? And how would that look? So you would divide your time with the studies, and I find that really fascinating. And yeah, if you could elaborate a little bit.
Sure. First of all, I started modeling after I graduated from art school. I had never modeled before graduating. So I it was my full-time job after I started going through with it. And I honestly fell into it by accident and through exhaustion and needing money. Being an art student, it wasn't necessarily something that intimidated me because I knew how to respect the model and I saw the room as a safe space, like the drawing room. There are a lot of hurdles that many other people probably would have with the idea that I didn't have. So I wasn't ever expecting to love it. I was just hoping to get $50 and leave. But it turned into a career from the first time I did it. And it really was just me trying to find work and just finally going to a small art school and asking if they needed a model.
I did one. It was a portrait. It was like a project in Berlin where Berlin creatives were painted in oil. And I remember the experience. I was sitting there and he was painting me. And beforehand, I was like thinking about how long can I sit there in the same pose. And after some time, it was like the time dissolved around me. And it became a really meditative, very, I still remember it like it happened yesterday and it's 20 years ago. And did you have, what are you thinking about when you, is it like also, is there some, sometimes different energies in the room? Or I could imagine it's sometimes you're maybe in a bad mood or you're excited, and how as a body, as a person, but also with all your emotions and feelings, then in this room being the focus of all these students around you, how, or was it just you're like, okay, that's now my stage and this is my job and you just go in the zone? Or how can I imagine?
Well, there's so many things that I could say about modeling and experiences that I could give. It's a whole other talk. But for me personally, it was basically, yes, like being in a zone, being in a bubble. Something about it to me was very meditative, like you mentioned. And I think models who love the experience, to people who are full-time models like myself, career models that I met in New York, there were a lot of writers who are models. They like to sit up there and be in their head, as well as a lot of dancers who take joy in the feeling of their body. There's a lot of different angles to it, and I enjoyed all of them.
And last question, and then we were in contact also because of the policies on Instagram. And I try to imagine, I only experienced this shadow banning with my account, but have your own work, which consists out of your body, your collages, the hours of work that go into these works, which were now, for example, in the frame of the residency of Agora Digital Art. Do you really honestly think this will ever change? The momentum is growing, or more and more people are speaking out about it or addressing it. But it's so, have one day I'm really excited about it and think it will change. And then I feel like it's like a Sisyphus work. And as an artist, especially like you, a digital artist, how do you see that? And also, do you see like yourself doing like NFT or going in that direction to have a different possibility of keeping the work in the digital realm, so to speak? Or is that maybe too?
When it comes to Instagram, and we can get further into that later, so I have a, you know, of course, I have a rant, but you know, it is difficult as an artist who uses the body and has artwork that lives in a digital space. It's very difficult having your work censored and erased online. And there are days too that I feel like it's getting worse, days that I feel like it's getting better. That's why I have also thrown myself into activism, because I figure I don't want to just be complaining. I want to be trying to act to make it better.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have another question from Sarah. She noticed that your use of hands in your works, they feel very evocative and of tactility. Is there a significance to this?
The hands?
Yes.
So that's something that it's still revealing itself to me, and I appreciate the feedback on it. You know, I still feel, I mean, this work is all still very much in process, or at least the way I see the arc of my body of work, and I feel like I've just started to include hands, and it feels right, but I don't know how to define it yet myself.
Okay.
That is an answer. Yes, possibly it's about the making or the moving or the manipulating. I've been thinking a lot about puppetry, but I'm not sure if that's the right word that I want to ascribe to it.
Okay, perfect. My next question is, do you try to transgress anything in your video projection? As soon as it's online, it becomes a symbolic of public domain compared to those intimate moments you create with your performance. Is your intention to drive the audience in a kind of voyeuristic approach, or more turning to the camera, to ourselves?
Voyeurism means to take sexual pleasure in seeing the nude body, and like often beholding it when the nude person and their act is unaware of your gaze on them. And I try in my work basically to stop that before it starts. Like, I have no interest in that kind of voyeurism into my work. I'm not quite sure if it is either more turning the camera on ourselves, as you phrased it, but it's more that I hope that it's obvious in my body of work that nudity in my body means something else, that my intention with my body is about something, and that thing that it's about is not about sex.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this is something that we mentioned with Esther's question about social media and censorship. Of course, voyeurism is happening to my work. Censorship of my work on social media and online really attests to my work being labeled as sexual and explicit, no matter what my intention with my work is. In general, and this is something that I focus on in my activism, I think that society ties sex and nudity so closely. And I think that it's a sexist practice to do so, because it does mostly happen with a female gendered body. And something, it is something that we all were brainwashed to do, or not quite sure how to phrase that, but like, I think it's a habit we need to break, and it's possible to break it. So basically, I feel like my nude body should only be objectified and sexualized if my intent and my consent is for that to be the case, and the same goes for my artwork. Mm-hmm. And I want to make my artwork using my nude body, because to me, my nude body means something different. It means timelessness, it means that it's ephemeral, it means that it's something that we all share with the equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a different sort of experience I want, that I'm interested in now, that I have been able to touch on a bit in this residency and with some previous work, is that there is a keyhole viewing aspect to voyeurism, being something that's not meant for you to see, that I am actually interested in. I think there's a lot of space there to create some very fun and engaging works of art. And there have been moments in my work where I'm not really, I slip out of like the performance per se.
Mm-hmm.
And those moments, I feel like they're catching me unawares. And I've started leaving them into my work more and more. because I feel like in those moments, I'm not performing for you. I am suddenly there, like in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And first for me, that felt too revealing. Oddly, I realize it's funny to say, considering I am usually nude in my work. But for me, those moments that I didn't plan or that I'm not controlling, those are way more revealing. And I think most people would feel that way in their own life. And it's very relatable. And so those are the things that I want people to really be catching in my work. So that's where I want the sort of camera to turn on the viewer, where they're suddenly seeing themselves,
mm-hmm.
a moment of recognition.
Yes, that's what I was trying to mention in the text I wrote about you, that maybe it may, your work may evoke false memories, as Esther mentioned before, as she used to model as well. Okay, how do you balance the high level of exposure? We already said it, yes, in your body of work, I think that we can definitely see that there is no sexualized intention. What would you like to show? Is it the vulnerability, the feeling of being powerful or regaining control of your body and mind, or placing us or the viewer and you as well in another time lapse, another dimension? Yeah. And if it's that, which one?
I think that I want my viewers to, like I mentioned, have a moment of recognition. I want them to look at the work and feel like that it is speaking to something that they couldn't put their finger on before. You know, I'm entering more into the realm of memories and the fragmentation of the body and distortion of the body. And during this residency program, I've been doing a lot of reading around this theme, especially having to do with media and our own self-image. And right now we're so inundated with our own self-image or the possibility of it through social media, the fact that we carry cameras with us constantly. And so through reading books like Glitch Feminism or Trick Mirror or Lydia Needs Art, Obscenity and Sexuality, I'm seeing that there's this need for people to be free of their own image, to use the body in a different way to express sort of these memory dream shapes that they can feel. And that's what I would hope that my work would do. It's not about me being vulnerable or me being strong.
Yes, thank you. Let me read the comment by Peter. Is it about showing that there are other languages with which we can and should approach the nude female form beyond simply sexual? That's what I took from your work.
That is not part of it. It isn't. That isn't the whole objective. That is hopefully a byproduct of it. I want to be able to be an artistic advocate for desexualizing the female body. I want to serve as an example of the way that we can do that.
Moving on to the idea of the body evolving, and I think that in your artist statements, you mentioned that you wanted your body to be a kind of homage to, let's see how the body evolves, and in the feminist sense of let's accept that we are all aging. Are you trying to break that mold of the perfect body or supposedly perfect body?
Yes, I don't ascribe to that mold. And I, in terms of like aging and the female body, there's part of me that really can't wait to see the kind of work that I'll be making with my body in 20, 30, 50 years, because I intend to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started making work with my body, I was doing it rather naively. I didn't have these whole ideas about it that I do now, but I had the same core belief of it being not necessarily a sexual object if I didn't say so. And when I first started showing my work and doing my work, I would get the question a lot. What are you going to do when in 15, 20 years or whatever? What kind of artwork are you going to make? As if the work that I was making would no longer be valid once I wasn't sexy anymore or young or whatever. And I didn't quite know how to engage with that question at the time, but I think that it sort of embedded in my brain at some point, and I became conscious of it and conscious of that being a terrible question to ask and a totally wrong idea. After I worked as a model, I became the model coordinator for an art school in New York. And it was my job to hire and place models in different classrooms. And I remember when I was an art student and when, you know, I would hear from a lot of the students at school, like, we want to draw, paint, sculpt, et cetera, somebody interesting looking with a lot of curves, a lot of skin, old or pregnant or whatever. Like, they wanted something exceptional to what they were seeing constantly. And I kept, you know, wondering, what is the gap here? What's happening? And I realized that, like, a lot of the professors, just numbers-wise, they were getting more students in their classes if the models they were using were these typical young women that I also was at the time. And so they were asking for that. So it was this perpetual cycle of what is that body, what the artwork that's being created because it's attractive. It just means that there's more artwork created of it. Therefore, we see more artwork of this young female body, and we don't see as much older or othered bodies. And it just perpetuates itself. And I found that very upsetting as somebody who was trying to place people in classrooms who had varying types of bodies. So it's not like older women are not making artwork and even about their bodies. They are. And it's just a matter of what we're used to seeing and what we're subconsciously closing ourselves off from. So we all have a choice in what we want to lift up to being valuable.
Yes, Jenny Saville, exactly.
Yeah, she's groundbreaking, unfortunately. It shouldn't have taken that long, but yeah.
Yes, because that's as well another beauty per se, or there are multiple, and that's maybe to come back to what Peter was saying, different kind of languages. It's like this physicality, because digital art is very much unmaterial. We cannot really touch it or see the brush strokes, but via those different layers of collage plus projections and scale as well, because in one of your video, the blue one, we can see that's a projection, and then you come and insert those collages, right, and you have this giant hand. So this proportion that is as well very interesting to decode in your work, in that work specifically. Okay.
Hi, Mimi. Hi, Emma.
Hello.
It was great to hear about your practice. I have a question. Is sexualizing the body considered a negative thing? Do you consider it as a negative thing in your practice?
My stance on it is that I believe that the body being sexualized is something that there needs to be consent given for, or intention. And so when somebody sexualizes my body without my intent or my consent, I feel violated in some way. That wasn't how the intention of the presentation of my artwork. That's only it. It's just about consent. If I've been there many times in my life, of course, where I want to present my body sexually, and when it's received as such, I'm happy. So not negative in a broad sense, but specific sense.
Okay. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Lilia. Sarah's got another question. Does censorship and digital censorship of the feminine nude affect your work and your methods of display? So we are going back and possibly transition to the next question, that nowadays the artist needs the social media to promote their work, but in the other hand, the social media are not very agreeable sometimes because they don't understand the sub layers that you are placing. So does this censorship, digital censorship, affect the way you display your work?
Yes, it absolutely does, and it is very frustrating reality. Much of my work, including a lot of, at this point, maybe it was 4 or 5 times this month when I, you know, posted something, for half the time or more than half the time, Instagram removed the images that either I or Agora was trying to post about my residency. And so it becomes very frustrating, because it isn't only that, like, I posted cute beach photo were a celebration of my body, which I don't believe should be censored either. But it isn't just that where it hits me in terms of my self-esteem. It actually is harming my art practice not be able to have my artwork seen and taken seriously through these platforms. It, mm-hmm. Sure, you might be able to point at this little part of her image violated the nudity guidelines or whatever on Instagram, and they're a private company and they can make their own rules, et cetera, et cetera. But they do allow for art. It's just that they get to decide what art is, which means that the artwork that we get to see is only what Instagram says art is. And as we have this past year been stuck inside and many artists have not been able to take their work physically to show it anywhere, Instagram and social media has really become way more of a public forum than it even ever was for artists, because we really need to get our voices heard. And if they're going to be canceling artwork that uses the body because they decide that it's inappropriate or indecent or sexual, or even they accuse a lot of us of soliciting sex by showing our bodies and our artwork, it's very damaging. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it's AI or somebody flagging it, in the end, Instagram is at least supposed to be able to evaluate it. Like, I just got a notification today about something I asked for a review on, which was a post that I made. In fact, it's the same post that is the image, my icon here on Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. That one got removed from Instagram, and I argued it as much as I could, which is just hitting a button. That's all you can do. And they got back to me and said that, nope, still violates our rules. Like, you can't post it. Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere else I can take that argument.
And how does it make you feel to be judged by an artificial intelligence, by a machine?
Well, ultimately, it sucks. Somebody built it. And mm-hmm. then, like I said, sure, maybe AI flagged it. Mm-hmm. But there is supposed to be somebody on the other end when I then say, I think you're wrong, who then said, no, AI was right.
But is it, again, the bias that a white man has maybe introducing this artificial intelligence?
Yeah, ultimately, yes, for sure.
You may try a video where your whole body is painted in another color.
Maybe, but that's not the point.
Okay.
Hi, hey. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Emma.
Hey, Tanya.
So I've been trying to figure out how to voice this as a question, and I'm not sure that I have it exactly. I'm mm-hmm. just really curious to hear a little bit more about the gender makeup of your audience, because so we're friends and I've been following you for a while, and it's my impression that the majority of people who your work speaks to and who interact with your work tend to be, let's say, not cis males, pretty much other genders. And even, yeah, and I'm just curious to learn a little bit more about this. It makes me think a lot about many, many feminist discussions or marches or events that we go to and that are overwhelmingly attended by people of other genders than cisgender males. And I'm just curious how that plays out, because you do work that is so directly linked to the female body, to censorship, and there's so much activism in there. I'm just really curious as to how your audience plays into it, if you ever wish it expanded more, if you're happy to like specifically engage with people of other genders. I'm just really curious.
Thank you for that question. This is something that, you know, is evolving, and I'm also in a constant state of learning how to place myself in the spectrum and how my work reads or how I should be describing my work. The truth is, I do get a lot of great response from people who I believe are cisgender men. This is an online interaction often that I'm referring to right now. And a lot of it, you know, I don't get a lot of sexually harassing things, truly. I get a lot of support for my anti-censorship campaign and for my artwork that does come from cisgender men, as well as a lot of female identifying people or people with female bodies or fem bodies, not tripping over phrases. I'm going to make sure that I'm describing people correctly. But in my online life, there's a lot of mixing between my activist page, which is a project called Exposure Therapy, and my artwork, because since my artwork gets censored, I end up talking about it on my activism page and meeting a lot of other artists who identify in every way, who also are artists who are having their artwork censored or denied or erased. And so I am conversing with a lot of people who then see my own art, my artwork, as part of that larger conversation. I hope that my artwork could speak to anybody who looks at it and not exclude anybody. But the truth is, I do have a lot of supporters who are cisgender men. If that answers your question, I don't.
Like I told you, I wasn't sure what the question was. It's something that has popped up in my head as I follow your work and I see who interacts with it. So it's interesting to know that there's like more than what I assumed. So yeah, you answered my non-question.
Okay. Feel free to ask it anytime we hang out next.
Thank you, Tania, for your question. And then what's your plan? What's going on with your work in general, and what's next?
Let's see. I'm very excited that I will be creating a digital artist book with the Liminal Gallery here in Valencia. Mm-hmm. It'll be a small edition, a physical artist book that will have a digital component to it, and it's very exciting to figure that out. So you can follow me on Instagram to hear the updates about that pretty soon. And then also on May 31st, I will be giving a lecture for the London Drawing Group, this will be online, called Who's Afraid of the Nipple? About censorship and the female body on social media. And a couple of days after that, on June 2nd, I will be moderating a panel of Censored Bodies Talk Back of other artists and activists whose bodies get censored on social media.
Great. I'm looking forward. We will get in touch with you later on to see how your project QuerPass evolves. And indeed, so in between, follow Emma on Instagram at xshaps. And then as well, maybe have a look at webpage or go to Agora page to continue and follow up the project QuerPass. And I think when you submit it and you submit your proposal, I was immediately drawn by the fact that indeed, I think there is much more political aspect to your work than only the pure physicality or the surface of the skin. There's something much deeper in terms of emotions. And that's maybe what's the difference between works made by women, is that the introspection into the work is a little bit more nuanced. And so it would be the same. And then the fact as well that you had cutouts was very interesting to me, because again, it was reappropriating the body, but the meaning of it, the memories linked to that period of your life, plus the strange pose that you make them do. It's almost very painful, I must say. You're very flexible. And so I'm very happy that you applied for this residency, because it was really a great pleasure to have you and to work with you for this month. That went very fast, I must say.
I'll just also say that I'm very grateful for this month and for the opportunity to really push a lot of this work further. I ended up in a place with the work that I wasn't expecting to, and I'm very excited about that, and I have a lot more ideas. If you want to see the work that I produced, or a lot of the work that I produced during this residency program, of course, I can't post a lot of it on Instagram. I have to be pretty cheeky about it when I do. So you can go to my Instagram page, go to the link in my bio. There is a link specifically in there that will direct you to a page that has all like video work from this particular residency, and you're welcome to check that out.
Great. Thank you so much for coming, everyone. And thank you, Emma. And
thank you.
I look forward to chatting with you very soon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody who attended.